Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ." This introduces us to one of the great things the Bible does by way of helping us stay faithful. I want to connect that to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. When you look at Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Heroes, as those individuals who survived and were faithful are listed. Then in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay hold on, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us or ensnares us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The idea is that God has provided us a whole library of people who are faithful people. And out of these, we want to look tonight as we compare some of them as examples of the individuals who God has helped us build our faith. And I don't know what happened there. Pardon me just a moment. There we are. Faith under construction is the idea. We don't have as much faith as we can have, though we can be people of great faith. Jesus condemned some of his disciples and said, "Woe unto you, those of you with little faith." So the idea is that faith can be increased, and one of the things that help us to be increased is the idea of people in the Bible who are said to be a cloud of witnesses. And the idea is that they run a race, and they're standing just beyond the finish line, and they're saying to us, "Come on, you can do it too." And as you think about that, you recognize that these were not super people. They were just people. And you see people who went through great trials of temptations and problems. I think often of Joseph and what he went through before he really was able to have his family back again. And so you have the godly examples that we need, and God planned for these to be examples for us that we might be able to increase our faith. So tonight I want to look with you at Moses and God's providence with him. I put this in because so many people do not know the mother of Moses, and I have trouble remembering it. But Jochebed was the mother of Moses, who was the wife of Amram, one of the major characters in the Old Testament. Her appearance is short, and we are not told much about her except for her trust in God. When Jochebed gave birth to a son, she saw that he was a healthy baby. Instead of letting him be murdered, because the Egyptians had ordered that, she took a basket, coated the bottom with tar to make it waterproof. Then she put the baby in it and set it among the reeds on the bank of the Nile River. At that time, Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river. One of her maidservants saw the basket and brought it to her. Miriam, the baby's sister, watched to see what would happen. Bravely, she asked Pharaoh's daughter if she could get a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. She was told to do that. Here's the providence of God in their lives. Miriam fetched her mother, the baby's mother, Jochebed, and brought her back. Jochebed was paid to nurse and care for the boy, her own son, until he grew. Then she brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who raised him on her as her own. She named him Moses. And after many hardships, Moses was used by God as his servant to free the Hebrew people from slavery, led them to the edge of the promised land. She had a tremendous influence on Moses' life, instilling in him the Hebrew heritage in spite of the danger to herself. I'm always impressed with the idea of Jochebed in the palace raising this young boy. He was going to be schooled in the Egyptian language, the Egyptian religion, but somehow in her wisdom and her bravery, she was able to instill in Moses that he was a Hebrew without getting both of them killed. I don't know what she taught him, but she taught him some really great principles. And he was able through life to use those principles to follow God and to do the great work that God wanted him to do. And so we see here, to me, the importance of mothers. I think we have lost a lot of that today because so many mothers now use daycare. I know sometimes that's necessary because of economic reasons. But you can go back to the day of Tilly the Toiler when women men went into the factories during World War II, you could mark a decline in society because women were not there tending to the cradle. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. America began a descent into rebellion that was seen in the young people that had no real training. What Jochebed did to me was a wonderful thing, to recognize the importance of a godly mother who somehow, and I don't understand how she was able to do that and stay alive, but she nevertheless taught Moses who he was. Now, all of us need that kind of understanding. We need to understand who we are and what we're about. And if we don't do that, then we're not going to accomplish much. But again, we have the example here of a godly woman and the son that she raised in order to be able to deliver the people from the bondage in Egypt. So we're going to be looking at that. And Hebrews 11 mentions him. He's in the Hall of Heroes. And to recognize that that God chose him and put him in that arrangement so that he could be a good influence on us. Beginning in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, by faith he, or Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they also passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So you have this about Moses, that he didn't really always know what was doing, what God was doing, but he recognized the need to follow God regardless. And I think that's what we have to do in the sense of following like Moses. You commit yourself to God. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what may happen to this country. And I don't know what happened to me or to you. But we commit ourselves to God. And in the providence of God, I believe He'll work everything out as He should. So it's an example of faith that we can relate to. And God put Him there for a reason. Romans 15:4 said, the things written beforehand are written for our learning and for our admonition. So we need to look at Moses and people like Moses and to recognize that what set them apart from their generation was faith in God. And that's what sets us apart from our generation, that same kind of faith. And we may not be tried the way Moses was, but we'll have the same kind of faith that Moses had. We want to look now at the valleys of his life. You talk about the mountains and the valleys. He had a lot of low valleys. First of all, taken from his parents as an infant, because the Pharaoh had commanded that all the male children be murdered, be put to death. And he was taken from his parents as an infant, raised in an idolatrous household. All of us have seen stories about Egypt and the various gods that are there and the temples that were raised to these gods. Moses is right in the middle of all this. Now, we're in the middle of society. Just like Moses had something instilled in him that made him understand he's special to God. That's what we need.
Amen.
We didn't understand our place and recognize the value of our place in society. Jesus called it the salt of the earth and the things that mattered with regard to us preserving society. You remember the story of Abraham. And if Abraham could have found five righteous people at Sodom and Gomorrah, God would have spared those cities, but they could not be found. So we are the salt of the earth, and we can understand that and recognize our place. And he was taught as an Egyptian. Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was preaching, brought this to our mind, that he was taught as one in the household of an Egyptian. In chapter 7 and in verse 22, the record says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. So you think about hunting, warfare, all those things that the Egyptians are known as well as the study of history and all those things. Moses had all that. It would have been so easy for Moses to become in heart and indeed an Egyptian. Now, we have our young people go to school. Unless we have something instilled in them of trusting in God and being different, if it demands it, they're going to be like everybody else at school. unless we have that instilled in us when we go to work, we're going to be like everybody else at work. There's got to be a difference in what we see about ourselves.
Amen.
We've got to see we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. And in the middle of all that meant to be an Egyptian, Moses had that something that made him realize, I'm different from these people, because at that time Egypt was as powerful as any nation on earth. And Moses was right up there among all of that. And yet he recognized that he was a Hebrew. And so he identified with his own people. Back to Acts chapter 7 again in verse 23, we find this statement. But when he was 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, how did he know that? You see, you had the influence of his mother there. He knew in his heart that he was not an Egyptian. He knew that he was a Hebrew. And he said, let me see where we go again. Verse 23, when he's 40 years old, verse 24, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For I suppose that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, and they did not understand. Now here's the low valley again. He knew that God was using him, but at the same time his brethren didn't understand that. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you're brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And so here he was found out, and he had to flee for his life. But again, I want to emphasize the role of a mother as we look at Moses' life and have an example that the old saying that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I really believe that. I believe we are worse off as a nation because we don't have the mother's influence as it used to be because of the change in the way things are. And so the valleys, when you get to Exodus 3, where he saw the burning bush and God told him to go and free the people, he said, who am I to do this? So he was not a natural born leader. And he recognized that he didn't have a silver tongue. He had trouble saying things. And God was telling him to do this magical thing of letting all these people be freed from Egypt. And he was not a born leader. He began to make excuses. Then when he married and God told him to circumcise the children and have all the Israelites circumcised, his wife called him a bloody man. She didn't want that to be done. So here are some points in his life where we can identify with somebody who really had some problems in his life. It wasn't all smooth sailing. First of all, when he was found out in Egypt, he had to run for his life. Now, he'd been used to all the comforts of the palace, and all of a sudden, he's got to run to the wilderness. And he has a wife, Zipporah, and she begins to chastise him for things that he was doing. And his own brother, Aaron, as he was leading them out and came to Mount Sinai, as he was up on the mountain receiving the tablets from God, his own brother made a golden calf. Now, why would they have made a golden calf? Because that's what they did in Egypt. And so here's the fact that God told Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great people, numbers as the sand by the seaside, and they're going to be a mighty nation. Well, they're not a nation yet. They're just a bunch of released slaves. And they've got to be formed and shaped into a nation. That's what the law was for. But before the law got to them, they were still in idolatrous worship. And they were wishing they were back in Egypt because they missed the onions. And that's the leeks, it's called in the Bible. And they had no idea of the glorious future that God had in store for them. And so here's Moses struggling with all of these rebellious people. I really don't know how he did it all, but you know that he did. And so here's his own brother doing that. And then even Miriam and Aaron rebelled. You find this in Numbers 14 and Exodus 17. And Miriam was made a leprous person, and you can see that up on there, what a leprous person looks like. And Moses was down deep in despair because his beloved sister had become a leprous woman. And nevertheless, through faith in God, he overcame that until these people grumbled and grumbled and grumbled. They wanted water, they wanted bread, they wanted meat, they wanted onions. And Moses finally lost it. I can understand that. I really understand that. Have you ever lost it? Have you ever been driven to the point where you just can't stand it another minute? We say, they got on my last nerve. Well, I guess that's what happened to Moses. They got on his last nerve, and instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. That tells us something about God's character, too. Do what God tells you to do. And that was a little thing. They still got water. But at the same time, he was denied entrance into the promised land. God held him accountable to that. And the example to me is, God's going to hold us accountable to what we do. Amen. If I do wrong, God's going to hold me accountable to that. And that's why we talk about being a Christian and living by the Word of God, because it's so important. And so he lost his opportunity to enter Canaan, and that's recorded in Deuteronomy 3. It's a sad part of his life, because he had been such a wonderful character, such a brave person, overcoming his speech, overcoming his hesitancy, and doing all those things in the presence of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now, when our president went to see foreign leaders, he bowed to them. And he didn't defend America. He was ashamed of America. Moses was not ashamed of being a Hebrew. He was not ashamed of what God told him to do. And we need to learn that. Here's a good example that I learned. I don't care what people say, I'm right because the Bible is right. Amen. And so we have all this abortion going on in the country. Planned Parenthood is actually selling parts of babies for money. And there's sometimes when they need a brain, and they will take the baby out and take the brain before it dies and sell the brain. I want to tell you, we're talking about cruelty. We're talking about viciousness. We're talking about evil. And that's going on in this world today. And so I know I can't be a part of that. And I hear about politicians giving donations to Planned Parenthood. The America gives donations to Planned Parenthood. Your taxes are paying for abortions. We don't have any choice in the matter. That's the way it is. But nevertheless, we have to recognize sometimes people are doing things that I don't want to be connected to it. And we need to learn that as a Christian. That there's some things the world is going on that I'm not going to participate in. So, jokingly, we talked a moment ago about snuff dipping. I remember in North Carolina, every woman out there almost dipped snuff. And I'd go see some of the members and knock on the door. And you could see through the screen door, the lady would shove the spit tune onto the bed and come wipe her mouth, say, "Hello, Brother Roberts." But the worst thing about that was that my daddy dipped snuff, and I had to clean out the spit tune. Now, that's an example. If you don't want to ever dip snuff, just clean out a spit tune. You'll learn not to do that. And I've heard of men that would catch their sons smoking a cigarette, and then make them smoke the whole pack. And what happens when you smoke the whole pack? You get sick, and you never want to smoke again. So there are various ways and means to do what we ought to do. The sad part about Moses striking the rock was he lost his opportunity to go in the promised land. And he saw it from Mount Nebo, but he was not able to enter in. And so there were some things in his decision, that is, and I put up there the Ten Commandments that you can see. The negative element was he refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm quite sure that Moses had seen all the pleasures of the world in the palace household. All those things would go on. A sister would marry a brother, and various things like that would happen in Egypt. But he refused to do that. But the other things, he was willing to bear persecution with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I could be preaching for a large church if I wanted to. Terry could, Bobby could, Joel could. We could preach for a large church. All we have to do is give up our scruples and go ahead and go with the world, do what the world does. And we could have acclaim, and some of these televangelists make millions of dollars. We might have a lot of money if we just give up our principles. Moses wouldn't do that. He could have had all that when it came down to what he had in Egypt. Moses had a longing hope of being with God. And this is what I really see in Moses. Something that carried him on during those valleys. Something that helped him overcome his hesitancies, the lack of speech, to go into the presence of the Pharaoh and challenge him to let the people of God go. That took courage. That took bravery. And God was with him, but God will be with us when we do what's right as well. So his decision was costly. Was it easy? No. Was it worth it? Yes. Yes, it was worth it. Now, you've been offered, I'm sure, during your lifetime, a way of life with more pleasure than what you may have had. And some people might look at that and say, well, I've just missed out on so many things. I don't. I don't care if I missed out on those things. Had a lady one time in the church, she was leaving the church in the process, she said, because I go to these really nice parties and I sit up on the head table like a bump on a log and everybody else is drinking and dancing and have a good time. And she looked me right in the face and said, you just don't know how to have a good time. I said, well, you're right, I've never been drunk. Because that's what she was talking about. And I've chosen not to do that. Now, I know how to do it. I've seen my daddy drunk. I've seen my uncles drunk. I've seen my cousins drunk. I've seen my aunts drunk. I don't want to do that.
Amen.
And that's a choice that I make. Well, why do I make that? Because I look at Moses and see what Moses chose not to do and what he chose to do. And I make the same choices, and so do you. So one of the wonderful things we have in the Bible is the example that have been given us. Excuse me. He chose suffering. And the Lord tells us in John 16, pardon me, that we have to suffer persecution sometimes. Now, it's not going to be like he did. I don't think Pharaoh is going to chase us with an army. Pardon me, let me get some water. But nevertheless, we're going to have some persecutions of some sort, and I've got to be ready to endure those. Jesus said, if they did that to the master, they'll do that to the servant, and there will be those things. So, how far are you ready to go for the cause of Christ? What are you willing to give up? Moses gave up the treasures of Egypt. Have you seen pictures of the treasures of Egypt? He had faith that he made this right choice because through the Ten Commandments and other things, he knew what was right and what was wrong. The pleasure of sin, he knew, was only temporary. And that is what it is with us. We have to recognize that. But why did he know, make his choice? Because he knew what values were. The presence of God was in his life. And I believe the presence of God is in our life. The Lord tells us he gathers together with us. And the idea, I think sometimes we don't really appreciate it enough, that God is with us in the Spirit. And because he's with us in the Spirit, we have a sense of contact with God. I think that's rare in today's world for people to think that we're in contact with God. I mentioned this morning in Psalms 34, where it talked about the angels around us. And I don't know all that I would like to know about angels, but I know they're ministering servants of God on our behalf. Amen. And so we're blessed among all the people of the world because we have that privilege. And when he saw the burning bush and when he talked with God on Mount Sinai, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, he knew that God was with him. Now, I haven't had any supernatural events like that in my life. But I have the record in the Bible that tells me that God is real, that Jesus Christ died for me, and that he rose from the third day, and he's sitting on the throne of God today in heaven. And I have that sense of being with God, and you should have that too. We belong to God. We are sanctified and set apart to God's service. And so, we learn then, he was... Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's one of my favorite passages. I came from nowhere and I'm nothing. But in the regard of doing service for the Lord, I can do it because the Lord is with me. And I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so I've made up my mind, and I hope you have, that you're going to be faithful till you draw your last breath. I want God to be on my mind when I die. I want the idea of going to sleep here and waking up on the other side. And the idea of being among the saints of God. Yes, sometimes they're the remnant, but that's okay. I want to be with the people of God. And the key verse to understanding Moses' life, Hebrews 11:25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The dedication to God and his choices. And that's he did that. He dedicated his life until that last thing. So we need to have a continual and abiding faith in God just like Moses did. That's a good example to have. He's listed in Hebrews 11. And so, looking at a number of people, I want you to look at the mask of King Tut. Solid gold. How much money do you think that's worth? How much money do you think they had of all the gold in Egypt? All the temples in Egypt. Those would have been Moses. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy. Moses could have had a mask made like that for him. If somebody would tell you that they would make a mask of gold in your image, if you will turn against the Lord, would you do it? See? What difference? What good is gold? You can't take it with you. And that's the point that Moses knew. And so Noah was full of perseverance. Abraham was an obedient man. He obeyed when he was called. Moses had that sense of dedication. Yes, he could have had the riches and pleasures of Egypt. Not to be sneezed at. But he just gave it up. So I know that things could be different for me if I would join a denomination. And we could put up a basketball court, and we could have a game room, and we could have jukeboxes for dances, and I could come into the auditorium on a wire, coming down like I mentioned a few weeks ago, this preacher did, and I could bring a zebra up the aisle, and that's what people do to gain a crowd today. I could do those things, but I'd lose my soul. And it's just not worth it. So it's been a pleasure to me to go back and look at Moses. Peter said this morning in the lesson, 2 Peter chapter 1, that I know that I've told you these things before. But he said, as long as I'm living, I want to keep reminding you of these good things. And so here's a lesson on an example. And Moses stands out as the great lawgiver, the great leader of God's people. And I'll never be that. But I'd like to be in his shadow. I'd like to be where Moses is. And I believe we can be. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, the invitation is always open. You know, it doesn't have to be at an assembly when you obey the gospel. Quite a few years ago, I went up to Brother Ralph Smart in Maine. We knocked doors and went from house to house trying to find people. We found one young teenager that I was privileged to baptize in the Atlantic Ocean. And how I'd like to do that some more. But we can do that right here if we need to. Invite you to obey the gospel of Christ or repent of sins and be like Moses. Stand the test. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, please come forward as you stand together and sing this evening. Well,